If you would take your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 this afternoon. I'd like to thank Pastor and you, Maranatha, for allowing me to stand up here and preach. I was thinking this morning after Pastor Cam got through, I said, why am I preaching this afternoon? Like, I need to be sitting down here and hearing some more of that. But that was so very good. Thank you, Pastor, for having homecoming. I've heard several different people say, what is homecoming? Someone in college asked me that yesterday, and I said, well, I'm from the North. I don't really know. So I just kind of described to him what I've seen a couple different homecomings down here like. You know, lots of food, good preaching. You know, sometimes former members come back, and they just have, you know, time remembering about the history of the church. But I sure enjoy homecoming, so I'm glad I'm down here. Colossians chapter 3 this afternoon. I had a couple opportunities to preach down in Brazil this summer. And down there, as you might be able to imagine, their time constraints aren't quite as important as they are here in America. So I hope y'all are thinking that I'm going to remember we're in America today. So, Colossians chapter 3. Once there was a little country schoolhouse out in the plains of the Midwest that was heated by an old potbelly coal stove. It was the job of a young 8-year-old boy named Glenn to go into that and fill up that coal stove and get the thing going so it's nice and warm for the teachers and the rest of the students at the beginning of the school day. Well, this morning Glenn went to the schoolhouse, he put the coals into the coal stove, and then he grabbed the can of kerosene that he usually used to get the thing started. But this morning, he found that the kerosene can was filled with gasoline, and disaster struck. As he threw in that match, the whole schoolhouse burst into flame. And the teacher, who was just arriving at the time, rushed in to find Glenn in the fire. Pulling the semi-conscious boy out, he saved his life. From his bed, Glenn heard the doctor talking faintly to his mother, saying that Glenn would surely die, which was for the better because his whole lower half of his body was completely devastated by fire. There was very little left on his leg bones. But as he lay there, Glenn made up his mind. He determined that he would survive. And to the amazement of the physician, he did survive. And yet when the mortal danger was past, he heard the doctor talking again to his mother that it would be best to amputate, for gangrene would set in. He would have no use of his legs anyway. But his mother refused to let him amputate. Upon hearing this, Glenn made up his mind once again. He would not be a cripple. He would not spend the rest of his life in a wheelchair or in a bed. He would walk again. So every day after Glenn was released from the hospital, his mother and father would massage his little legs, but there was no feeling, no control, nothing really. But his determination that he would walk again was as strong as ever. One day, after several months, he swung his legs over the side of his bed and stood up, just trembling there before he collapsed back to his bed. Every day he would work a little farther, and eventually he was able to walk across the room. Eventually he went outside and started working his way around the white picket fence that surrounded their yard, and he was doing that every day, trying to walk and learn to walk again. Eventually he wore a smooth path in the grass. You know, there was nothing that Glenn wanted more than to develop life in his legs. This boy Glenn, he determined, he had a goal in his life. The most important thing was to walk again. And Christians, this afternoon, I submit to you that the most important thing in your life should be the things of God. You must make the things of God most important in your life. Let's start reading in Colossians 3. If then ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Let's pray this morning. Dear Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to preach this afternoon. Pray that you would bless the words. Lord, I pray you bless the listeners. I pray that your word would go forth, Lord, that it would not be what I say, but what the Holy Spirit has to say to our hearts today. Lord, I pray you bless in these few minutes now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I see here first in this passage a condition. If ye then be risen with Christ. Here Paul is writing to the Colossians, the Christians that lived in Colossae. And he was saying, if you're risen with Christ. But he was assuming that they are. And today, I've been coming here for about 2 years. I've been a member for a while now, and I assume that most of us here are Christians. And that's who Paul's writing to. If, or since, ye then be risen with Christ. I would like you to look over in Ephesians chapter 2, just a couple pages to your left there. Ephesians chapter 2, and I would like to remind us today of where we've been raised from and to where we have been placed. Ephesians chapter 2 starts, "And you hath he, God, quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." The place from which God has saved us is a place of separation from Him. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were separated from God when we were born as humans. But He says, "And you hath He quickened." That means to be made alive. That's not where we are anymore as Christians. We are not separated from God because of our sins and trespasses, although we might live like it. When we sin, now that we're saved, that sin does separate us from fellowship with God. But positionally, we are still seated in heavenly places with Christ. Before we were raised with Christ, we lived according to this world, the course of this world. We lived according to the prince of the power of the air. We lived the way that Satan wanted us to live. You know, Satan always wants us to do what our flesh wants us to do. He makes things seem really appealing, because that's going to work out his end. He doesn't care about us. He might throw out a temptation there, and you know he's trying to tempt us to sin. But doing that, he's not trying to help us out. Once we've done what he wants us to do, he'll throw us away. That's how we used to be before we were raised with Christ. And Ephesians 2:12 says that we were having no hope and without God in the world. We had no hope, no future in this place from which Christ raised us. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. This is the place to which God has put us. God's mercy is shown. His rich mercy is shown to us in his restraining to punish us when we were separated from God. Before you and I were saved, God could justly condemn us to eternal death. Every day, the Bible says, God is wicked. God is angry with the sinners, with the wicked every day. God's mercy is shown in his restraint in punishment for sin. But God's love is also shown very clearly at Calvary, in his sending Jesus Christ to die for our sins. His love that he would give his own son, his only son, to die for you and me, the sinner. He made us alive by the payment that Jesus Christ made at Calvary and his resurrection from the dead. He removed that separation when we trust in him by faith. He can remove that separation by removing the sin that separated us from God. So let me ask you, I assume that most of us here are risen with Christ. We are born again. But there may be someone here who is still separated from God positionally. I'm not talking about fellowship with God if you're not right with God, but are you separated from God because of your sin? And have you ever taken care of that separation? We should live like that separation is gone. We need to walk in fellowship each day with the Lord. So that's the condition I see. Risen with Christ. Back in Colossians chapter 3, if ye then be risen with Christ. Now we've established who we're talking to. You and I, Christians. I see two commands here. Two commands in the text. Number one, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Seek the things that are above. Now, what does that word seek mean? Well, I looked up in the dictionary, and it says seeking means moving from place to place, looking for something until you find it. Now, over at the college, many of you have spent some time over there, but sometimes you'll walk into the commons, and you see a guy seeking a girl. And, you know, it's a stage of life that we are in. And praise the Lord, I found the one who I believe God wants me to marry. And I thought about asking her to stand up and, you know, and this is my fiance, you know, just practicing for deputation and things. But she said that wasn't quite a good idea there. So, but seeking, a young man seeking a girl at college, you know, he'll do a lot of things in order to sit down next to her at the lunch line. He might even change his class schedule, frustrating Mr. Hankey in the office there. He might even take a shower, so that way she'll talk to him. He'll go to great lengths to change in order to get that girl. Are we willing to change things in our lives for our relationship with our Heavenly Father? I mean, I've seen young men, myself included, change things in our lives to seek a girl. But would we change things in our lives so we can seek God? Perhaps that means spending more time as we read His Word, spending time in prayer. Maybe that means spending fellowship with others. Do we change in order to seek God better? You know, this verb is a present tense verb. It means to keep doing it. It doesn't mean that you seek one time. Like salvation, you're saved one time. But here, seeking is something that's continual. It's something that you're doing all the time. It has to be something we do today, something we do tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow night, all week long, all month long, all life long. It's something that we never stop doing. But what things are we supposed to seek? Here in the text, over in Matthew chapter 6, if you would turn over there, we'll spend a little bit of time there. Matthew chapter 6 lays out three things that we should seek, two things that we should seek, and three things that we should not seek after. Matthew chapter 6. Here Christ is giving the Sermon on the Mount. And down in verse 31, Christ says, "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed?" These are three basic earthly things that I submit to you we are not to seek. Verse 32 goes on and says, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So we're supposed to seek things that are above, not things that are on the earth. So what are these earthly things? Well, I believe that they're things that we eat, what we drink, and what we wear. Now, those are some of the basic necessities of life. You know, you go down to a rescue mission, you see men who have lived homeless lives, men who have lived with very little, and these men know what it means to live with just these basic things. I think about eyeglasses. You know, some of you who have traveled to different mission fields, there are children there who could really use eyeglasses. But here in America, we consider them necessities. I could take them off and still read the exit sign barely in the back of the wall. I can still tell who most of you are, although I wish I couldn't, some of you. No. But eyeglasses, they're not necessary for survival. But these things, these are even necessary for surviving. I mean, you can't go too long without eating. You can't go too long without drinking. And you can't go too long without shelter from the elements. Even the basic necessities of life. God says, don't seek after these. The Gentiles seek after those. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Those are the things above that we should seek. Now, what is the kingdom of God? How can we seek that? Well, a kingdom is where someone rules, where a king rules. Are you seeking God's ruling in your life? Are you seeking in the lives of those around you? Is that something that you're seeking? When you come to the Bible, when you come to church to hear the word preached, is that something that you're seeking to apply to your life? You know, a lot of times they say ignorance is bliss. And you say, well, I didn't know what the rules were, so, you know, it doesn't matter if I disobey them or not. You know, sometimes the guys over at the college try to pull that one. Well, I didn't know that's what we're not supposed to do. You read the handbook. You know what you're supposed to do. When we find things in the Bible, do we seek? Do we look from place to place? Do we find a way to change so that way we can follow it? So that we can obtain God's rule in our life? What about righteousness? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Is God's righteousness something that you are seeking after? I'd like you to examine your own heart this afternoon. Is His righteousness something that you are earnestly desiring? Or is it something that well, if it comes, then, you know, I'll take it? Or is it something that you've had in your life to pursue? Is it something that you're seeking after? Make an evaluation of your life. Is your life pursuing earthly things or things above? You know, these three basic necessities of life, every one of us in this room have far more than just those three things. Far more. Think of technology. Think of the things that surround us in our homes. Think of the friendships that we have. Just all the many things that we have on top of those three things. And those are the things sometimes that we seek after. You know, maybe it's a Lamborghini. Maybe it's the next Apple technology that comes out. All these things that we seek after, we try to obtain. But God says, don't even try to obtain, don't seek after these three basic things. Seek after God's righteousness and God's rule in your life. And his promise is, if you seek after those first, all these things, the necessities that we have, they will be added unto us. Proverbs 23:5 says, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle towards heaven. Earthly things will vanish, both in this life and when Christ comes back. You know that Lamborghini that's sitting out in the parking lot? Grandma's going to back into it one of these days, and it's not going to be as nice. You know, things in life, they're going to diminish in value, and one day they're going to be burnt up. So why would we seek after them? Why would you spend your whole life living for things? Why not seek after God's rule in your life? Seek after God's rule in other people's lives. Seek after righteousness. That's what we need to seek on the things above. But also, we see that's the first command. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. The second command, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Our second command, first is to seek things above. The second one is to think on things above. When I was in Brazil, I was sitting on the side of my bed reading my Portuguese Bible as best I could. And I had my English Bible right next to it so I could compare the words and things. And I got down to the verse 2 here, and it says, set your affections on things above. And I looked at that in the English version, and I said, I'm not really sure exactly what that means, set your affection. That's not really a term we use too often. But I looked over in the Portuguese Bible, and it said it had the verb pensar, which I looked up in the dictionary, it means to think. That's all that it means. And so I went to my computer program and looked up the Greek definition, and there it was. It basically means to think on something, to meditate on something, to think. What and how we think affects what we do. Thinking is very important. God knows this. That's why in Philippians 4:8 it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. God knows thinking is so important. That's why he says think. And he gives us six different things that can be qualifiers of what we should think. If there's something that's dishonest out there, it's not true. It's not honest. Maybe there's something that we think somebody else's motive in doing something towards us. Well, is that true? If you can't prove it, I'm not sure that we should be thinking about it, according to this verse. Maybe there's some immoral things out there that we shouldn't be looking on. Are those things we should think about? Are they pure? No. We should cut them out of our life. What about things about good report? Maybe somebody's coming up to you and they say, I have the latest on whoever it is. Is that something that's good report? Maybe it's something we should not even listen to, so that way it doesn't have a chance to lodge in our minds as something that we think about. Thinking is so important. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And Romans 8:6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I don't know about you, but I would like my life to be marked more with life and peace than to be carnally minded and marked with death. Not only is thinking very important in how it affects what and how and what we do, but it also shows us what we value. Now, if you can get a pie chart put up on the projector that showed you, you know, today I spent 12% of my time thinking about that barbecue we had for lunch. and I spent 6% of my time thinking about the announcements the pastor gave. And I spent this amount of time, you get the idea. If you could show, you know, a percentage of what we spend our time thinking about, it would show what we value in our life. You know, I think about Jennifer quite often, quite frequently, and quite a bit, because I value her a lot in my life. I try to spend a lot of time thinking about school because that's what I'm here for. You know, but so examine your heart. What do you think about? It'll show you what you value in your life. And if you're not valuing what you should be valuing, change how you're thinking. Because we find in Matthew chapter 6, it says, where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. If we make the decision, I'm going to think about things that are true, just, honest, pure, lovely, good report. We start thinking that way, we'll start acting that way. Our values will change according to the biblical principles. So those two commands we see, set your affection on things above, think on things above, and seek on those things that are above. Now let's look at some conclusions. This is my last point, so don't get worried. Some conclusions. Verse 3 says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. We need to remember that we are separated from our old nature. We are dead in Christ. Before we were dead in trespasses and sins, we were separated from God. But now we are dead in Christ. We're separated from our old sin nature. We should live like it. For what life do we have without God? He gives us life. He sustains life. And he is the only one who can fulfill our lives. Have you embraced being dead to your old sin nature? Or do you still go back and you try to please it every once in a while? Oh, maybe just once or twice this afternoon. Maybe just once or twice, you know, tomorrow I can please it. No, we're separated from it. We ought to live like it. Are you separated from the things that you want to seek? The Bible tells us what we should seek. So if we're going to submit ourselves to the Bible, we need to seek the things the Bible tells us to. So are you separated from the things that you want to seek? What about, are you separated from the things that you want to think? You know, sometimes there's things I want to think that I know I shouldn't be thinking. But I need to embrace being separated from the things that I want to think. And I need to think the things that God tells me to think in His Word. Searching and thinking after earthly things will always end in disappointment at best and destruction at worst. Verse 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. You know, one day we will appear before Jesus. That should be our motivation to seek and to think on things that are above. Because that's where we're going to spend eternity. Once our time here on earth is done, that's where we're spending the rest of our eternal life. We need to determine to seek on think on things above. Just like Glenn had the determination to walk again. Eventually, he did develop the ability to walk around normally. And he actually began to run, which was quite a miracle. He began to run to school. He ran for the sheer joy of running and being able to run. And he ran everywhere he could. Once he got into college, he earned the nickname on the track team as the Kansas Flyer. In February of 1934, in Madison Square Garden in New York City, Glenn, who was not even expected to survive, much less walk, and impossibly to run, this determined young man ran the mile in 4 minutes and 8 seconds, the fastest world indoor mile that had ever been run. Glenn Cunningham made it a determination in his life to walk again, and he set a world record. What a difference we can make in Shelby. What a difference we can make for our children and grandchildren if we would determine to seek the things above. If we would determine to think on the things above, God's rule and God's righteousness. I would invite you to stand, bow your heads, and search your hearts as we close this afternoon and Pastor comes. I would just like you to take a few moments to search your heart. Are the things above what you are seeking after? I think every one of us in this room today could say, well, I could think more on things above. I could seek better after the things above. That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, is that something that your desire in your life? Is that something that you want to do? And is that something that you are willing to change in your life, to seek better after God, and to think on things better that are above?